Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, host of the Football History Dude podcast, right here on the Sports History Network. Now, before we jump into another sports history adventure, let me tell you about this episode's sponsor. We partnered with Rochester Sports Autographs, the largest JSA authenticated autograph distributor in the United States, where you can get deals on over 30,000 autographed sports collectibles. They even have film, music, and other entertainment autographs on the site, so there's something for everyone. Perhaps you're looking for a gift for Mother's Day, or maybe Father's Day. Heck, who needs a holiday as an excuse to give a piece of sports history to your loved ones? Or how about yourself? Today seems like a great day to add to your sports cave, right? But how is RSA able to offer such great deals on JSA authentication, you ask? Well, they do this by making deals directly with athletes, so there are no extra markups, and they choose to pass these savings on to the customer. All orders from Rochester Sports Autographs are top quality and shipped to your door with top authentication and money-back guarantee. And to make sure RSA knows that the Sports History Network sent you, we created a special link for you. All you have to do is head to shoprsa.com/SHN. Again, that's shoprsa.com/SHN. Head over there to get your piece of sports history today.
The temperature's getting cooler and those leaves are falling, and we're raking in all the great football history of yesteryear for your enjoyment. Today's episode, we're going to go through a team that changed coaches mid-game and a whole bunch of legends of the game on their birthday coming up in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to the podcast of PigskinDispatch.com as we go through the football history headlines of one date, October 16th. And we're going to start off in Chicago, Illinois, October 16th, 1921. The Rock Island Independents of the AFPA traveled to the Windy City to face the Chicago Cardinals. And according to RockIslandIndependents.com website, the Rock Island team manager Walter Flanagan sent a sub into the huddle on the field during the game who gave halfback Jim Konzelman this message: "You are now the coach at no increase in pay." Konzelman, who had just joined the team a few games earlier, became the youngest coach in the league when he took over as the head coach of the Rock Island Independents from Frank Coughlin. This is the only mid-game coaching change ever known in NFL history, and we think today that firings are bad after the fifth game. Our next event happens on October 16th, 1885, in Erie, Pennsylvania. Yes, Erie, Pennsylvania, the home of where this podcast broadcasts from, and it was the birth of Hunter Scarlett on that day. Hunter played end for the University of Pennsylvania Quakers from 1904 through the 1908 seasons. The 1908 season was special. Scarlett and halfback Bill Hollenbach provided the spark that led the Quakers to an 11-0-1 record and a national championship. That season, Penn outscored all of their opponents 215-18. The tie against the Pop Warner coach Carlisle Indians when the final ended at 6-6. The National Football Foundation selected Hunter Scarlett to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame in a year, 1991. The next stop on the timeline is October 16th, 1893, in New York City. That was when Harold Ballin was born and raised in the Big Apple. After successful education at the prestigious Lawrenceville School, where he was not able to make it onto the football team because his athleticism being, in his own words, underdeveloped, and according to the National Football Foundation's biography page on Harold, Ballin attended Princeton University and somehow he progressed enough to make it on the Tigers' fourth and final unit of the freshman football team. His sophomore season was average at best, but as a junior, he was playing tackle for the Tigers in 1913, and he was an All-American as his body grew up to be a 180-pound blocking machine. Princeton Hall of Fame running back Hobie Baker had a tremendous season running behind Ballin's blocking. Harold's senior season saw him bulk up another 14 pounds, and he became the team's captain and won his second consensus All-American recognition honor. The National Football Foundation body voted in 1973 to select Harold Ballin to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame. We hope right now, while you're taking this little break from our football history, that you'll hit the subscribe button on this podcast player, and also that you'll email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. And now a couple words from one of my buddies at the sportshistorynetwork.com.
This is Jeremy McFarland from the Footballist Family Podcast. And I want to encourage you, if you get a chance, to come over to the Footballist Family Podcast, where we look at what makes football special and family to each person. We talk about each team, and we talk about the stories behind why fans love those teams. We encourage you to come and join us in our discussion. Thank you.
We flip forward in time to October 16th, 1945, Knoxville, Tennessee, and that's when D.D. Lewis came into this world. D.D. is not our typical Hall of Fame story. According to the National Football Foundation's bio on him, his college team at Mississippi State had only won a total of 7 games in the 3 seasons Lewis was on the team. Fortunately, the Hall of Fame is not as much weighted on his team, but more for the individual's performance of a player. This was the case for D.D. Lewis, who made the All-Southeastern Conference twice and the All-American team once in 1967. Opposing coaches such as Bear Bryant of Bama and Vince Dooley of Georgia raved about the linebacker and said things to the effect that he was one of the very best backers in the country. For his great play at linebacker, D.D. Lewis entered into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2001's selection class. We fast forward exactly 1 year to October 16, 1946, and to Houston, Texas. Then University of Texas running back Chris Gilbert was born. The website footballfoundation.org informs the reader that 29 games played as a Longhorn, Gilbert ran for 3,231 yards, scored 28 touchdowns, and was the very first player in recorded NCAA history to have 3 seasons where he ran over 1,000 yards. Chris was an All-Southwest Conference 3 straight years and a consensus All-American in 1968. In 2 games against Baylor University, he rushed for over 200 yards in each game and went over the 200-yard mark in a 1968 game against TCU. The National Football Foundation in 1973 selected Chris Gilbert to enter into their College Football Hall of Fame. He ended up being drafted by the New York Jets in the pros, but he never played in a game for them. We gotta change 15 calendars and go to October 6, 1961, and that's when All-Star Chris Dolman was born. Chris Dolman was drafted by the Minnesota Vikings out of the University of Pittsburgh with the 4th pick in the 1985 NFL Draft, and as a linebacker, according to the Pro Football Hall of Fame's website bio on him. At some point in his second season, Dolman was moved to play defensive end, and he showed great improvement, putting up 11 sacks in 1987. In 1989, he led the NFL with 21 sacks. After the 1992 season, he was voted as the NFC's Defensive Player of the Year after he put up an additional 14.5 sacks on the year. Chris played a total of 15 NFL seasons, 9 with the Vikings, a couple in Atlanta, and his final ones at San Francisco as a 49er, and did another stint with Minnesota to end his career. He ended up with 150.5 career sacks, as the 4th most in NFL history. Chris Dolman entered into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio in 2012's enshrinement class. I'm looking out at the defense, and I got backers crowding the line. I'm going to call an audible and get on out of here. Tune in tomorrow for more Pigskin Dispatch. If you want to get contact us, for at pigskindispatch@gmail.com, and we'll see you tomorrow, folks. We encourage you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, and hit us up on the email, pigskindispatch@gmail.com. See us on Twitter and Facebook, too, and subscribe to this podcast. We'd love to hear from you.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hi, this is Joe Ziemba, the host of When Football Was Football, here on the Sports History Network. I'm very pleased to announce that I will be partnering with the Sports History Network to give away 2 copies of my latest book called Bears versus Cardinals, the NFL's oldest rivalry. To enter, just head over to the following link, sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. We hope you'll enjoy the numerous stories in the book, which is largely based on the newly released Dutch Sternemann collection at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Dutch was the co-owner of the early Chicago Bears with George Halas and kept correspondence, financial records, and scouting reports, which now allow us to peek into the management of an NFL club during the first few years of the league's existence. Along the way, we'll meet unusual gridiron characters from years gone by, including a quarterback who could throw the ball farther behind his back than he could throwing it forward, a Bears lineman who was such a good tavern fighter that he decided to enter the boxing universe, and a Cardinals halfback who gave up the NFL rushing title by deciding to not show up for his team's final game of the season. And can we forget the time the Al Capone mob interrupted a Bears-Cardinals game? The new book was fun to research, and I hope you'll enter our free contest today. Once the winners are selected, we'll be in touch regarding shipping as well as to inscribe the book personally for you. This might make a perfect gift for Mother's or Father's Day, or simply add it to your own personal collection. Once again, enter by visiting sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. Thank you and good luck.